good to see you this morning. What a great day it is to be together in church and hanging out. Woo! Turn to your neighbor and say, you look good today. Come on, you look good today. Some of you guys are wearing your Christmas outfits. I got mine on and remembered and realized as I was putting it on, oh, there's a few things that have changed in this last year. Woo! Lord have mercy. It's time to go start in January. That's what I'm saying. Everything's going to change in January. Hey, we're going to get started this morning, and we're going to get right into the Christmas story. And one of the things that I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to take, because I love watching Christmas movies with my family. How many of you guys have already started? Okay, good. So I'm going to have some Christmas movies help me tell the story this morning. So if I pause and a clip goes up, it's not shocking, but we're going to actually get to tell the story of what God is doing this morning. So I'm going to start with prayer. Jesus, we thank you for this season. God, coming together, being in church is extraordinary. And Father, we thank you that we get to be together. Lord, I pray in this season, in this time, you would begin to reveal who you are in greater ways to all of us. And that, Lord, we would experience your love in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's start with the story in Luke chapter 2 with the shepherds. That night, there were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, who has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly the angels were joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds' stories were astonished. The angels said to these shepherds on the side of a hill as they were managing their sheep, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." What is this good news? Could it possibly be that Best Buy is having a sale on the new iPhone XR? Could it actually be that we know that we could save some money on car insurance with Geico? Maybe you're getting cash back from the new app in Dodge, or Farmers Insurance knows a few things that we don't. I heard that Apple is actually putting their new headquarters here in Austin, their second headquarters, which means the good news is my house has just increased in its value. Good news! But you know what's interesting when I think of this idea of good news is how would a group of men whose livelihood is managing sheep decide to be out? So we're just going to go and we're going to go check this out. Yes, I realize that angels would probably convince most of us. But just so you know that the sheep aren't going to take care of themselves. So there had to be something that they realized that the good news was not just someone telling us about maybe a new guy that was kind of talking about good stuff. Or there was a new king born, because they've seen that. And I think many times in our life, we've heard someone say, "Man, this is going to be a game changer." I've often thought that about a television. And I go to Best Buy and I buy the latest, biggest television. And I realize as I get it home and we watch it for a while, and then I go over to my dad's house and he's got a bigger one. That disappointment, that reality of life what was it about this concept of good news that got their attention? I think that if I was them and I was out in the fields at night kind of by myself with some sheep, it gives you an opportunity to think. You know how it is when you're at night, you're laying in bed and your brain goes crazy and you're thinking about all sorts of stuff, and it's in that moment that you start having thoughts about your life, your job, your situation. And it's amazing how we often feel like we can't seem to shake that which has happened to us. And no matter what we do, we find ourselves back at that place again. I just want to have freedom. I just want breakthrough. I want more than just a gift. I want something that changes my family. I want more than just an idea. I want something that's actually going to bring something new to my situation. And I think the shepherds were looking for that. I think when we get real with one another, many of us have been in that place where we've looked for approval or love from our parents, our father, our earthly father, and they couldn't give it. They had no capacity to demonstrate it. And I think Buddy the elf experienced this.
Where do you want me to go?
I don't care where you go. I don't care that you're an elf. I don't care that you're nuts. I don't care that you're my son. Get out of my life now.
I think the shepherds could identify with their life being looked upon as less than. Maybe them showing up in town and because them hanging out with the sheep all night, they just have that smell. And everybody kind of looks at them and says, oh, you're one of those guys. Maybe you've never been rejected or bullied at school because of a characteristic that you can't change. But if you have, there's nothing more devastating than that. Because you can't change it, and therefore you want to be accepted, but it's the very thing that people reject you for. I think what's interesting is in that moment, these guys could identify with that feeling just like the Grinch experienced with his hometown.
So, whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood outside his cave, hating the Whos.
Alphabetically, Aardvarkian, Abakanesha Who, I hate you! Aaron B. Benson Who, I hate you. Hate, 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 hate. Double hate.
Loathe entirely. Nutcrackers. It's their jubilation.
He snarled with a sneer.
Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Fetch me my sedative! How to take care of those pesky memories.
We laugh, but it's so true. How the recorder in our mind plays those memories over and over again. And then as an adult, we shift our attention on stuff. On if I just get my life on track, if I get the right job and the right family and the right stuff around me or the vehicle or the pool, then everything will be okay. And what's interesting is we get there, and what a fragile place that really is. Because it never masks the reality of the human condition. And I think we've all experienced it. We know, because we've been on the other side, and it's still feels the same because our heart goes everywhere we go. As much as we try to fill the void with stuff, but what happens when it actually all goes away? That's what happened to George Bailey in A Wonderful Life.
Mrs. Welch, I'm sure she'll be all right. The doctor said that she ought to be out of bed in time to have her Christmas dinner.
Is that Zuzu's teacher?
Yes.
Let me come in. Hello. Hello, Mrs. Welch. Well, it's George Bailey. I'm Zuzu's father. Say, what kind of a teacher are you anyway? What do you mean sending her home like that, half naked? You realize she'll probably end up with pneumonia on account of you?
George.
Is this the sort of thing we pay taxes for, to have teachers like you, stupid, silly, careless people that send our kids home without any clothes on? You know, maybe my kids aren't the best dressed kids, and maybe they don't have any decent clothes. Oh, that's stupid.
Hello, Mrs. Welch. I want to apologize. Hello? Hello? She's hung up.
I'll hang her up. What is it? Hello, who's this? Oh, Mr. Welch. Okay, that's fine, Mr. Welch. Give me a chance to tell you what I really think of your wife.
George.
Will you get out and let me handle this? Hello. Hello, what? Oh, you will, huh? Okay, Mr. Welch, anytime you think you're man enough, you... Hello. Any...
Dad, how do you spell hallelujah?
How should I know? What do you think I am, a dictionary? Tommy, stop that. Stop it. Janie, haven't you learned that silly tune yet? You play it over and over again. Now stop it. Stop it.
I think we've all experienced those moments when it comes crashing down and the expectation that we had on our life, maybe our spouse, maybe a relationship, and it doesn't turn out the way we did. We find ourselves looking through our eyes going, I can't believe this has happened again. It's amazing if we don't deal with the things of the heart that you can only stuff for so long. I remember as a young man, I would say, okay, when I have kids, or when Dan and I first got married, we said, okay, when we have kids, our kids will never be like, you know, we see maybe someone else, and we're going to do things totally different. And then you get in that moment, and you're experiencing that situation, and you react exactly the way you said you would never react. I know none of you have ever done that, but I've experienced that. Where I'm like, man, I don't want to react this way, but my son just pushes those buttons. It's his fault. And it's interesting how we can actually find ourselves in the very place that we said we would never be, saying the words that we thought we would never say, but because we've never dealt with the actual issues of the heart, we continue to be in that place just like Ebenezer Scrooge in responding to his family.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas humbug? Uncle, you don't mean that.
Merry Christmas. What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be so dismal? You're rich enough.
Humbug!
Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not a penny richer? I could work my will. Every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Paul says, one of the writers of the New Testament, in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by the sin and death? To go back full circle, I think the shepherds standing there in the field, they hear this word of good news, of great joy for all people. It's got to be more than just a sale. It has to be more than an idea or a concept. It's got to be something greater. So what was it that drew them to come and leave all that they were doing for a baby? What's amazing is I love how Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. As he begins to announce of himself later on in Luke chapter 4, he says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. He makes this declaration of himself, and I think the shepherds realize that this good news actually is the new story of what God can do in their life. Can I actually change? Is there something that can rewrite how my past has been and give me a declaration of my future? Can those haunting memories be eradicated by God as he steps in to humankind in the form of a child? They don't even hesitate. They don't even hesitate. You don't see that there's a deliberation here. Well, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Man, this is kind of crazy. Should we? Shouldn't we? I don't know. Because I think in the heart of every human being, there is a desire for something that is real. Something that actually shifts the inside. Jesus said, I've come to bring freedom to those who are held captive. To recover the sight of those who have been blinded by that which has happened in their life or that which has been done to them. He says, I want to free those who carry weight so they don't have to carry it any longer. It's like the story of the jailer in the book of Acts. Paul and Silas are thrown into prison because they're in this town and they're telling people about the goodness of God. And there's this moment where they have a confrontation with some of the leaders, and there's this gal there who they pray for, and she's delivered, and they freak out and they throw them in prison. And there they are. They're in prison and they're singing, and it seems bleak. And the jailer, the jail guard, who probably had lived his life trying to manage every moment. I know you've never done that, but I've tried to manage my moments so that nothing kind of can mess up my little perfect world. You actually could go into my closet and see that I have all my short sleeve shirts, all my long sleeve shirts. But my wife can't reach any of those because they're on the higher shelf. So she just puts them randomly in these other places. Or you have children or people that come over to your house and they set something in the wrong spot. Isn't it interesting how we try to manage our world? And the more we try to manage it, the actually it begins to crumble. And that's this jailer. He's got everything. He's got the people on the right. It's his job. I've got everything set up. And then the whole jail shakes. And all the prison doors open up. Those who are in prison run out, except for Paul and Silas. And in that moment, the jailer falls to his knees wanting to kill himself because everything had come crashing down and he could no longer manage his life. And Paul and Silas rush in and they say, listen, you don't have to do that. And he goes, what must I do to have what you have? Because your whole world came crashing down and yet there you sit singing in your jail cell. And Paul and Silas said, hey, all you have to do is believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he will change everything in this great moment of faith. And so Paul and Silas share this word, and the man stands up, and the Bible says that not only did he accept it, but he went home to his family, and his entire family accepted it. So good. You see, one moment with Jesus, even as a newborn baby, changed everything because of faith. It reorients us to the love of God. And I think the shepherds were hoping for something different, something extraordinary. Something that would change the landscape. And you know what's interesting about Jesus, the good news of great joy for all people? That because of him, he can actually make the thing that we wanted most take place in our heart as if that experience really happened. Watch what happened to Buddy the Elf.
You found it.
Buddy!
I need to tell you something.
I know, Buddy, there's something I have to tell you right now. I didn't mean anything I said back there, not a word. I know you may be a little, chemically imbalanced, but you've been right about a lot of things. I don't want you to leave. You're my son, and I love you.
You know what's amazing about Jesus is I've met people whose life was turned upside down. And in the textbook writing, it would seem that there was no reason for them to be who they really are. That the abuse was so real and it was so dynamic that it should have changed the trajectory of their life. But one moment with Jesus. The good news of great joy for all people. One moment with Jesus. And it's like they had the experience of that one who rejected them saying, they're sorry. You may not get that real event, but Jesus makes it happen in your heart so that you don't need it anymore. It reminds me of what his forgiveness and his love can do on a day. Maybe you've experienced the love of God before and you remember what that day felt like when you said yes to him. But what I believe is that we can wake up every moment, every morning with that fresh belief that every day is a new day with God. He says his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And that experience is what happened to Ebenezer Scrooge the morning after his great experience of revelation. Check it out.
They're still here.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm still
here. Yeah! I don't know what to do.
Light is a feather. Merry is a schoolboy.
I've heard that laugh before.
Mrs. Dilber. Merry Christmas.
Oh my God.
My dear Mrs. Dilber, you're the loveliest creature I have ever laid eyes upon.
Dance with me, Mrs. Dilber. Dance with me.
Follow me, Mr. Scrooge. On end me.
He's completely deranged.
What a charming woman.
You know what's fun is how we could have felt in our life that we've had a string of bad luck. Maybe in relationships, maybe in circumstances. But what I love that the angels were presenting to these shepherds on the side of the hill, this good news of great joy, is that what you may have felt like, maybe manipulation in relationships or maybe a string of bad luck, that God wants to put you into a community where everything begins to change because you have real, authentic relationship with people who love you in spite of whatever it is that you've done or said or experienced, or that you wake up on the other side of the bed grouchy. That you showed up to church not with your Sunday best on, and somehow a group of people have that bold, audacious love to say, come on in, I know what it feels like, and let's let Jesus change us all. That's that good news of great joy, that I don't have to be perfect anywhere I can come into a community of people who enjoy being with me. I can join a small group, an e-group that we call here in our church, and live life with people and experience what it means to help each other. Not have your life manipulated by people trying to get something from you. Ugh, yuckies. And that's kind of what happened to George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life.
Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told some people you were in trouble with it. They scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions, just said, George in trouble. And tell me, you
like
it spread like fair.
Another run on the bank?
Here, George. Merry Christmas.
There we are. The Lion Farm's on the right. The Lion Farm's on the right.
Come in, George.
If you notice in George's eyes, he was so surprised that the man was walking up. I actually think that was the guy on the phone, his wife he had just insulted. Community can be a place where we can connect.
George, you got the family all up and out a bit. Here's some music playing.
That's the good news of great joy that only Jesus can bring. Look what John writes in the Message Bible in verses 1 through 5, this is what he says, and the Word was first. He's using that word as the symbol of Jesus. So Jesus was first, and Jesus was present to God, and God present to him. The Word was God, and in readiness for God from day one, everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazes out the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. This is the good news of great joy that the shepherds experienced, standing there in the darkness, and all of a sudden the angels with bright light and radiance all around them saw with their eyes what light can do in the darkness. Darkness has to flee when you turn on the light. Darkness and light don't struggle. It must be eradicated. And so the Father knew that in that perfect time, he was sending the light into the world. And what's beautiful about that light is that when it comes into your heart, when it comes into your life, it cannot be put out. Jesus died once and once for all. He lives for eternity in us as we take a moment of faith to say yes. I see it like this, that Jesus wants the keys to our heart. And when we give him the keys by a moment of just saying yes to him, it actually changes the moment of our life just like it did for the Grinch.
Come from a store. Maybe Christmas. Perhaps. Means a little bit more. Ha ha ha!
I'm feeling.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Inside.
Will you give the keys to your heart to Jesus today? Maybe you're here for the first time and you didn't even know that this existed, this great news, this incredible light that shines in the darkness. Maybe you've experienced Jesus, but what you've discovered is that you keep taking back the keys to your own heart because of trust or fear. I just want to tell you that Jesus says that it's his job to actually move in your life if you let him. He won't force you, but he's a good Savior that if you let him, he'll do what is impossible. He'll change what was hurted. He'll rearrange that which seemed couldn't work out and create in your heart the experience as though it did. You might not find the best deal. You may not see it all work out. But what you have is a peace that no man can take away, no situation can change. Because you got a God that loves you and stepped into your world and said, I am for you.